A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, they put it right in the center of the room and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, good morning, church. So glad to see you today, you beloved community of God. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ, and so thankful for your presence today. If you are a long-timer, a first-timer, or an onliner, welcome all of you. How about for a moment, just for a minute, let's stand, let's greet one another. I will read our call to worship from our psalm today, and then Jesse will come and lead us in prayer. Let's greet one another for a moment, please. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 13. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 13. You are welcome to stand or sit during this. Jesse will come and pray after our call to worship, and then I'm going to invite all of us to stand for the songs that follow. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. My enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray together with Jesse, and then Larry will come and lead us in some songs.
Good morning, how y'all doing? I was reading Leviticus, and then I read Jeremiah 29:11. But Jesus had told me last night to pray over people who get double portion. God said he give double portion to the people that are blessed. He pour out his spirit on every one of us. Even the people that deny him, he still give them double portion. Pastor Steve received double portion. Brother Larry Watson and his family received double portion. Jessica Vaughn and her family received double portion. Double portion means that God will give out anything that you ask for. So let's pray for the people and let God give them a double portion. The people that are sick, let God give them a double portion of healing. The people that need food, give them a double portion of food, Father God. People that are out on the street, God will give them a double portion, a house or an apartment. Father God, whatever people ask for, Father God, give them a double portion because they did not forget about you, Father God, because you do not forget about your children. I always say, when I write my scriptures on Facebook and on my index cards, Father God, that you open up the windows and you pour out a blessing on us. But you really pour out a blessing on all your children even the one that's out there on the streets, that's on drugs, that's an alcoholic, that anything. You watch over them with your angels. So Father God, with this church and the new church that's coming and the people that's coming in, Father God, you give us double portion of everything we ask for. Pastor Chelsea, Pastor Steve, their family, Coral. This family is our family. You gave me a double portion, Father God, of so many psychiatrists, Father God, that I can't count. But it's a blessing because I have one now. And Father God, I'm not ashamed to say the depression is still there. But Father God, I know I'm coming out without a smell of smoke, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Father God, the people that's in jail, I know they are praying to you. So give them a double portion of your grace and mercy. And when they pour oil on them, Father God, let them get on their hands and knees and praise to you and say, God, I am truthful and I am really blessed to have a family in heaven just like you. In the name of Jesus, I say, amen.
Let's sing. All things praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and sky. All were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed should all worship bring to thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, night to night, sings in silent hymns of light. All things praise thee, day by day, chants thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, heaven's thy shrine, sea rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at thy feet, seraph and dark angel meet. This their highest bliss to be, ever praising, Lord, may we. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. For joy and the work of your hands, forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Well, now you join me now as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This is the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. to thee, more love to thee. Be seated.
We enter this morning into the second chapter of Jesus' famed Sermon on the Mount, which is our own name for it. Matthew never calls it a sermon. It is rather a vast collection of teachings, and we have been making our way into them week by week. At the beginning, we said that these teachings were for disciples more than for curious onlookers, though curious onlookers surely listened in. What they all heard 1 month ago was how Jesus started with the Beatitudes as a way to say that you, friends, at the very beginning, before you do anything at all, you were already blessed by God. 3 weeks ago, Jesus wanted to tell these blessed people that they are the salt and they are the light, and they give taste and color to the earth by their very good deeds. 2 weeks ago, I gave Steve Sandifer the very easy task of preaching about anger, adultery, divorce, and promises. Jesus, it seems, wants to get at the heart of motives and the whys of actions. Last week, I should have given Steve that text too, since he was on a roll talking about difficult ideas. Instead, I was the one who preached on second miles and third miles, and loving enemies, and how the radical love of God has no law, but pushes us beyond all requirements. Today, we step lightly into Matthew chapter 6, well aware of the beauty and challenges Jesus in chapter 5 has set before us. For our readings, I would like to ask in a moment, but not yet, 3 volunteers to read. Anyone here is welcome to do so, and that microphone right next to Dick is a great place to go in a bit. On the screens, you'll see reader 1, reader 2, reader 3, and how many slides are yours to read and when it's your turn. If you're interested, now is a good time to go. I'm looking for 3 readers to do that. After we read, we will enter into a time of silence after hearing. If you've been with us during our Matthew series, we have a time of silence after hearing the text read as a way to stop talking. We do a lot of talking in church. With silence after hearing, we are purposefully highlighting empty space for listening. Our prayer is that after hearing, the Spirit of God's Word will stir and churn inside your head and your heart. Whatever needs to be heard, let it rise up within you, or let it settle you down. At the time, you'll know which is necessary for you. After silence, after hearing, I will get back up and invite our Roots kids to the table in the back. Then I will pray, and then I will preach. But first, 3 volunteers. Lily, how about you go first? Glenn, how about you go second? Is that Tracy? Excellent, Tracy. So glad to see you today. Thanks for doing that. All right, Lily, first few slides are yours.
Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full, but when you give into the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
I'd like to invite our Roots friends, our children, to the Roots table if you'd like to be a part of that. Miss Chelsea is on her way, and you are welcome to join her. Jesse, thank you for praying so beautifully today. As always, Larry, thanks for leading us in song. Tracy, so glad you're here. Thanks for reading for us this morning, and for Lily, for Glenn, thank you for doing that today. Well, let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God, and earnestly this morning we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, for it's because of Christ and through Christ we pray. Amen. Be perfect. Jesus had just finished saying last Sunday, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect is not the best word there. Complete is probably a better translation. Be complete, whole, mature, grown up as your heavenly Father is complete and whole. We do that not because we are striving for nitpicking perfectionism, but because God is the standard bearer of completeness, and Jesus is showing us the way to God's wholeness. We want to be like him. Jesus lets us know that we already have everything that we need to do that. Already blessed, already salt and light. Already you can tell the difference between the written law and the spirit of it. You already have every single thing you need to live into God's completeness. As you do that, as you practice the type of virtue and goodness that Jesus himself practiced, there's a word for that. Righteousness. We've heard righteousness a few times now in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you who are persecuted because of, unless your surpasses that of the Pharisees, you certainly will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Righteousness is that beautiful intersection of words and walk. Words and walk, they hold hands, they interlace their fingers. They go together, they mingle, they do not let go of each other, not even for a second. What you say and how you act matter. Jesus is quite serious about this, so much so that he dedicates a lot of time in chapter 6 teaching his disciples about it. He starts by telling them what not to do. Please, he says, please be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, beware of doing good just so that people can see you. That's a great temptation, is it not? Hunting for and receiving public accolades. Who doesn't like a bit of recognition every now and then? I need pats on the back. You need pats on the back. Feels good to be appreciated and acknowledged. But it's also a bit tricky. Jesus literally said, "Let your light shine before others that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." If your light is going to shine and have any impact whatsoever, it's got to be seen by others, right? So what's the answer here? It's this. If your actions of piety and goodness are based on righteousness and justice, yes, do it. If your actions of piety and goodness are based on self-centeredness and number of eyeballs, no, don't. Jesus says, how about we look at three examples? We'll start with giving. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. Don't brag about it. Don't toot your own horn. Only persons with a false face do that, pretending to be someone they aren't. Sure, they get rounds of applause and a standing ovation, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly, unobtrusively. God, who sees all, will honor you. Of the three examples Jesus gives, this is perhaps the easiest to provide illustrations. At the college I went to, and at all colleges everywhere, the surefire way to be remembered for a really long time is to give a lot of money. If you have a lot of money, you get your name on a new dormitory or a science building or the grassy field at the football station for years to come. Long after you are gone, there you will still be Sergeant Hall, the residence of 300 freshman men, pristine condition for half a year, full of amenities, that new car smell for a few decades, that is, until it's torn down to make way for someone else's sizable gift. I think also of baseball games I've been to, and just before first pitch, your attention to home plate, please. And there before live stream cameras, a group of people surrounding a massive cardboard check, 3,500 bucks from this company to that charity. Since I don't know the motivation behind the giving, I should only assume positive things. Good things will come from that money. But what I wrestle with is the giving in public. The giving that everyone can see, that giving that requires both hands. That generous company is doing something good, but doesn't it also boost their marketability and therefore their bottom line? Who, in the end, is this donation for? Jesus says, when you give, don't announce it with fanfare and musical instruments and a massive HD screen. No. Don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Keep that secret even to yourself. As a minister, I hold the very fortunate position of hearing stories of how you let your light shine when it comes to giving. You either let me be a part of it, asking me to help out, which I am so grateful to do and will continue to do. Or somehow word reaches my ears of what you have done. I love that. What I love more is never hearing a single thing about it, yet knowing without a shred of doubt that it's going on anyway. Here I think about the bread basket, our food and supply pantry just off the lobby. Judy Zimmerman was the impetus behind this one, and I ran with it, opening up what is basically a closet, stocking it with non-perishables and hygiene products. It's used every single Sunday and most Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as well. I get to be a witness to that. Cora decorated that sign that you see before you, leave what you can and take what you need. Since I myself am not standing guard or writing names on clipboards about who gives and who receives, I don't know who leaves or who takes. I am grateful for that because I think it exemplifies Jesus' directive to give. Since it's done in secret, it's also done in integrity and keeps people's dignity. This makes me smile. This last week, I went in there to tidy up a bit and found that somebody had left their plastic goodie bag from a recent dental appointment. Inside, toothbrush, toothpaste, floss. I have no idea who left it, but I know people who can use it. Leave what you can, take what you need, can lead to some issues, of course, like what if a person leaves something they shouldn't leave, like a can of green beans expired by 12 months? Or what if a person takes more than what you deem is necessary for them? I'm not saying there can't be order and rules to the bread basket. I am saying that is not and cannot be the priority. Giving and receiving quietly is the priority. For when you give quietly for the benefit of others, God who sees rewards. Before we get overly excited about the monetary rewards that will surely rain down upon our heads when we're generous, Jesus has already said what the rewards and blessings will be back in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus gives a second example on how not to trumpet your piousness. Prayer. When you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you really think your audience are those who sit in the box seats? Jesus wants us to know that prayer especially is not a spectator sport. attention seekers cannot abuse prayer in such a way. It must have been an issue during Jesus' day, and the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree. Televangelists with their nice hair and clenched eyes are easy targets, since they are, by definition, showy. Celebrity preachers, too, with their manicured personas and captivating speaking styles. But I don't personally know any televangelists or celebrity preachers, nor have I been much of a watcher of religious programs on TV. So it's perhaps a bit unfair for me to say too much. It's probably good for me, then, to remember that any of us who are compensated to lead religious groups are sitting ducks when it comes to stages and street corners, and for good reason. We are up front the most. We have been trained in spiritual matters. We have words expected to lead a community of faith. But most ministers I know don't angle toward flashiness and word count. They struggle with getting words right. They struggle with correctness. They want their beautiful, attractive prayers to move people's spirits. In short, we struggle with performance. Their congregations don't help too much in this regard, as their encouragement appears a lot like a report card. Pretty nice service today. The sermon was nice, a few funny jokes, a fine story, but the points were a bit bland, nodded off, actually. Good prayer, however, good prayer. Thanks for praying. Coffee was a bit burnt. And too many songs, a bit too slow for my liking. Years ago, I had a person here who is no longer with us tell me that I should not read pre-written prayers during a church service. But I needed to let it come naturally, a prayer from the heart, not of the pen. While it was not said maliciously, it reinforced for me the performative nature that the church stage can sometimes emphasize. That may be also the case why King sometimes struggles to find people who are willing to pray aloud during our gatherings, folks who are fearful or unsure of what to say and how to say it. The judgment that might be attached is either by other people or by your very self. But Jesus says, don't worry about any of that junk. Prayers are not for consumption, nor are they for manipulation. When you pray in public, don't worry about the show. Don't worry about the quantity of your words. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is God you are dealing with, and God knows better than you do on what you need. So how about this as an alternative, he says. Find a quiet hiding place where nobody can see you or hear you. Send your prayers to God in secret. What about you? Do you have a secret place to pray? Are you making space to pray? How's it going for you? Is it a joy? Is it a delight? Is it a slog, a confusion, an emptiness? That's okay. Any of those are okay. Just pray. Even if your prayer sounds like an echo chamber, pray. God, I assume, is very good at putting your thoughts together. With a God like this loving you, you can therefore pray very simply and boldly. Our Father in heaven, holy and sacred is your name. Bring your good road to us where the beauty of heaven reaches this earth below. For when you pray this way, when you pray in secret, God who sees rewards. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus offers one final example of righteous acts before others. When you go without food to seek spiritual things, do not be like the ones who make a spectacle of it. They hang their heads down and downturn their faces to look as if they are fasting. They only want people to notice them and think they are spiritual. Look how godly they are, so much like Jesus. But Jesus says, don't do that. When you go without eating, please act normally. Outward, shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices, and no person needs to know. Several folks among us may be fasting right now. You haven't eaten for 24 hours, or you have skipped breakfast on purpose as a way to seek God. You desire God more than you desire food. What does it take to do that? It doesn't take people thinking highly of you. It doesn't take you thinking highly of yourself because you are fasting. Do it in secret. For when you fast, God who sees rewards. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. As a whole, Jesus commands us not to show off our piety, our devoutness, like we're on some kind of game show we're trying to win. If you do, you might get praise from people, but nothing from God. Instead, give, pray, and fast in secret, and God will reward. I'd like to close by pointing out that Jesus does not say, if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast. What does he say? He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, whenever you do these things. For Jesus' disciples, there is an expectation that you will give, that you will pray, that you will fast. His concern is this: is it for yourself or is it for God? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is laser focused on shaping and forming us, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. He teaches to give and pray and fast without practicing our righteousness for our own sake. He teaches us how to die to ourselves and teaches the church to die to itself and therefore live so that God and God alone may be praised. For it's to God that belongs the power and the glory forever and ever. And together we can say or we can type, amen. Let's stand as we worship in song together.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your world. and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, shining like the clouds, riding in the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Be seated.
Jesus, of course, is the one who teaches us to give. And now Jesus has given bread and cup for us to share with each other. Bread, of course, which is his body. The cup, of course, which is his blood given to us this day. And so we get to share this together with gratitude and with great joy. As we do on Sundays, anybody can come up here and help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large. If you would like to do that today, just come forward after I pray and we will divvy up the congregation and eat and drink together. Let's pray together, please. We give you thanks, O God, for the life of Jesus, which we have heard and seen today and which lives on in us. We are grateful for these things. His body is in this congregation. His blood moves between us, and so we are thankful. Give us courage and wisdom to live in such ways. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen.
Be the name of the Lord, blessed be the glorious.
We have been blessed with an opportunity to give. So let's do that today. You can give money in the form of a tithe, contribution, an offering in the plate today. You can also give online if you'd like, bring it to the office, and we will take care of that. If you happen to fill out any of those cards from earlier that you see in the seats behind you or in front of you, then put those in the plate too, and we will take care of it that way. Let's pray together, please. You continue to teach us, O God, and so have your way with us and let us hear and respond accordingly. Thanks for the gifts that have already been given and the gifts that will come, and we pray that you will bless them in ways that you see fit and deem good. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. See up on the screen. This upcoming Tuesday, the office will be closed for July 4th. But Wednesday night, our prayer gathering will still be open if you want to be a part of that. Larry, Mercy, Ruth, Jesse, and others can point you in the right direction of what that looks like and where to meet. That's 7 o'clock here in our building. We've talked about this for a couple weeks now. We are in July, more than halfway through the year already. July is our month to support BIM, Braze Interfaith Ministry, which is a coalition of congregations in our area joining together to address some of the ongoing needs in our community. These are some of the things that they have asked us specifically to collect. You can see those up there and also see them in your bulletin. I'll get to classes in a second, but most of you know our friend Robert Perez. I don't see Robert yet. Maybe he'll be here a little bit later. But he has provided enchiladas for us to consume, enjoy together. They are currently next door in the fellowship hall. The smell wafting through as our friends from the Spanish congregation are working on the building. If they enjoy some of it in the meantime, I will not be too sad because there's plenty for us. If you want to be a part of that, we'll have those enchiladas ready for you out on the table immediately after classes today. Grab something and stick around if you want, or you can get some to go. Again, Robert Perez, she should be here in a little bit, but we can thank Robert for that gift. All right, you see up on the screen, we have classes all over this building. We sure hope that you stick around and be a part of one of these smaller faith groups in these rooms. You see them up on the screen there. If you need any help picking one or finding directions, you can talk to me. All right, friends, we have reached our benediction time. Would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction or sending out today? Thank you again for being here. Dear friends, God does not delight in pomp and show, but in a humble and contrite heart. Let us fix our hearts firmly on Jesus, that having nothing, we may yet possess everything. Amen. Go forth in peace and purpose.